I've never felt the time in my life to be with the people of God. And even though there's social distancing still in all of us, there is a great desire and yearning to have fellowship. We're going to be with each other in heaven. Amen. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we're going to be like him. I want to talk to you this morning about something I've never preached on. I want to talk about yielded and still. I want to visit the potter's wheel this morning. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in that potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. God bless your word this morning, Lord. I want to talk to you about being yielded and still. When that clay is on the potter's wheel, there's two requirements for the master to work. Number one, the clay must be yielded. Everybody say yielded. If the clay is not yielded, if the clay is hardened, then the potter cannot shape it. If the clay is not still and it's going its own direction, he cannot fashion it. It's kind of ironic that the wheel of God is the will of God. And many times we don't understand that we are on a wheel. And it seems like life, we're going around and around and around the same thing. But that's the will of God. But during that time, I cannot be shaped into the image of Christ if I'm not yielded. The reason that the clay was marred or spoiled, the Hebrew word says, it wasn't because of the potter. It's because the potter saw something in the vessel that was not like Jesus. Aren't you glad that through your Christian life, that when God saw some things in us that weren't Christ-like, that he just didn't let us get by with a hallelujah in worship? Aren't you glad that the Spirit of God began to come down and say, you know what, you've got to deal with that impatience. You know, you've got to deal with that love of things and money. You've got to deal with that independence. You see, his primary focus is for that clay to be fashioned, baked, and then used for the master's glory. Hallelujah. Why is he shaping us? Many times we forget. God's not just shaping me now for a ministry here. He's not just shaping me to be an elder or deacon. But God has eternal purposes for us. Do you realize he is shaping us, number one, to rule and reign with Christ? He's not just shaping me so I can be a good person and do my job well. He is shaping me to rule with Christ and reign with Christ. I don't know about you, but that's going to take a lot of preparation, isn't it? It's going to take getting rid of rebellion and independence, and I can do it without God. Because God's not going to let me rule and reign with him if I can't yield to him here, you see. And many people are not pressing into their spiritual life like they should because they feel a Sunday morning service is enough. I'll never be ready to rule and reign with Christ because I just happen to show up
in church. I know nobody's saying amen now, hallelujah. But we got to look at this thing. Why is God's hand upon me? The hand of God was upon David. The hand of God was upon Gideon. The hand of God was upon Paul. You see, God has eternal purposes for us on that wheel. And sometimes going around on that wheel, life can seem dizzy. Life can seem just boring, the same thing. But that's the will of God to shape me. Listen, if I make excuses for my irritability, if I make excuses for my judgment of other people, if I make excuses for my laziness, guess what? He's going to have to come and he's going to have to do me again. Why? Because he's got eternal purposes forever. And the bottom line is this, he's got to live with us for eternity. So he's going to make sure we get it right, because he don't want to have to deal with my attitude in heaven. Somebody shout amen, oh me or oh my. You see, the second thing he's shaping us for is we're going to judge angels. Wow. Jesus said, don't you know that you're going to judge angels? What does it take to be a judge? Number one, you have to be a lawyer. Number two, you have to have a proven record of right judgment, not wrong judgment. You have to be a judge that's fair, but also truthful. It takes many years to be a judge. He says, I'm shaping you to judge angels. My. The third eternal purpose, I'm going to give you authority over cities. Some of you are going to rule 10 cities. Some of you are 5. I don't totally understand, nor the commentaries, what exactly that means, but I do know this, the words of Jesus are true. How on earth is he ever going to give me authority in heaven if I have a problem with authority on this earth? If I can't yield myself, how on earth is he going to trust me with a city? Amen. The fourth thing, he said, I'm shaping you so you can inherit the kingdom. Wow. The kingdom before the world was made, he's shaping me for that kingdom. Our mindset in 2020 must adjust from a church mentality to a kingdom mentality. Because this is about, the church is temporary. The bride is eternal, but the bride is the central focus other than Christ of the kingdom. One day this building will not be here. Amen. A new heaven and a new earth. So the potter has us on the wheel. And I want to tell you something. Nobody shortcuts the process. Just because it's Tuesday and I'm having a bad day and I feel like I can just say anything out of my mouth, the potter's right there. He don't live in this house. He lives in me. He says, you know, you ought not have said that, Bill. That wasn't like me. So I'm going to put my finger called conviction so you'll change. Because, see, I'm shaping you for something greater. Turn to somebody and say, he's preaching better than I'm saying amen. Oh, help us, Jesus. Now let's talk about yielded and still. Amen. Yielded is a position of the heart. You know, the law could not make people obey. And the reason it couldn't, because of sin, the law couldn't change hearts. That's why he said, I'm going to make a new covenant with you. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, a heart that is tender. Josiah, because thine heart was tender, and because when you heard the words, guess what? Judgment's not coming in your lifetime. God notices when our heart is yielded. The word yield means to surrender or relinquish to the will of another. Yield. How yielded am I? Am I really yielded? Surrender to the will of what? To the will of God. How many people, they're not in the will of God? Oh, they go to heaven. But God is not able to use them anymore, because he only uses yielded vessels. Now, I want to give you the key to being yielded. How many want this key? Are you sure? Submission is the road to a yielded life. Let me talk about what the Bible says about submission. Number one, James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Where do we start? Submission is a heart attitude to God of, I'm submitted to you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If I can't resist the devil, if he's not fleeing, I got to check and see if I'm still submitted to God. Because it's very easy to submit to other things other than God, even as a Christian. Submit yourselves to God. That's how we start. The second way the Bible says, Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another. Amen. We're not Lord over anybody. Submit to one another. Be open. Don't think we know it all. Don't set yourself up above somebody else spiritually and make them submit to your revelations. Some of your revelations might not even be right either. And you know, let's submit one to another. Let's talk about the third one, wives. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Submit yourselves to your husband. Have a heart of submission, right? In the book of Genesis, it says, you know what? Eve, because of this, your desire will to be to rule over your husband. You know, we don't hear this preached much. But when I'm talking about wives submitting to their husbands, I'm not talking about the husbands being a control freak and misusing his wife. I'm talking about the spirit of Sarah, a meek spirit, a submissive spirit. Doesn't mean that wives don't have a say. Doesn't mean they can't say, well, let's talk about it. But this is New Testament. And I think one of the greatest things out of order in our nation is the family. Husbands, Paul said, the next one, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You see, Christ was submitted to the Father for his bride. You know, we want our wives to submit. But men, husbands, are you submitted to spiritual authority? Are you really submitted? And it's not just eye service, it's a heart thing. I have seen the best marriages when the husband has a submitted spirit. It causes the wife to want to submit, and together they have health. Listen, wives, you're not called to pastor your husband. Husbands, you're not called to pastor your wife. And I have seen over the years that one or the other will try to be the, you know, pastor. I'm the spiritual one. Listen to me. I hear from God and you might. I've seen it for husbands and wives. That's dangerous. That's not your role. We're not called to pastor our spouses. We're not called to set ourselves, well, I'm more spiritual. And no, together you hear from God. Together, you both do your part. And if we're going to have order in the church, it starts in the home. You see, this is something that the potter on the wheel is getting into the husbands and the wives. Why is it that when people in their marriage and year after year, they lose their intimacy, they lose their friendship, and they don't spend time together? Guess what? Because a repelling force comes, because no one wants to be pastored by their mate. I didn't marry my wife to pastor her. She didn't marry me for her to pastor me. I married her because she was hot and she was good looking and she loved God, and I knew we could do something together. Amen. So if I ever do any control over her or her over me, we know right away it ain't God. Don't pastor each other. You have a pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. I knew that would go over good. Amen. Now let's talk about being still. Everybody say still. Psalm 46:10. I love this. Be still and know I'm God. I'm God. I think I'm God. I know I'm God. It's not a question whether I'm God. The question is, am I still? And I think this is one of the places we miss it. You can't be still if you're not yielded. And if I am still, it's a presumptuous stillness of inactivity and pressing into God, which is not the still he's talking about. Until I come to the place where I count everything but dung, I've not got there yet. Until I come to the place where I count my reputation, if no one likes me, my ministry, if I don't have one, I'm on the shelf. Until I come to the place where nothing else matters but my relationship with Jesus, I've not got there. God will come and get ambition out of me because I think it's God and it isn't. You know, God will come and put his hand on my clay that I know more than the pastor. Maybe you do, but you don't have the position. God will come and say, well, you got to do my vision. Well, be part of the big picture. God in this hour by the Holy Spirit is getting spots and blemishes out of us. And if we think we can intimidate God, and if we think we can just say that he's letting us get away with it, no, he's trying to find somebody, Pastor Deb, because he's trying to find some vessels that have gone through the process and some congregations that have gone through the process. And we come to the understanding that it's not us, that we are like that water in that clay pot. And if God doesn't change it into wine, I don't care how big the building, I don't care how big the pews, I don't care. If God doesn't come in this hour and do something through me, we will dry up. So we submit to that process. Watch how independent you are. Watch how rebellious things can come in your marriage and words of cruelty. And watch that. Keep that tender, submissive heart. And be still before God. Jesus is our great intercessor. Spend more time just being quiet before God. Be still. He can work it out. God is working. I love that song by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Why does God want us to be yielded and still? Why does he want to have free access to our life? You realize how far God's brought you from. I mean, 15 years ago, you had problems with this attitude, that prejudice, race, and all of a sudden, God has changed you. Guess what? He's still not done. But the day will come when God says, you know what? I've worked in my life. You've come. You've pressed in when others didn't. You came to prayer when others didn't. You came to church when others didn't. You prayed when your feelings were hurt. You prayed. And God says, now I'm going to open up something to you. I'm going to open up a powerful ministry. I'm going to open up something because God is looking for gates. God wants some gates. Gates to open up. Gates. Come on, put that up there. Gates. Everybody say gates. The next slide, please. Gates. What is a gate? Gate opens up and gate closes. And you know what? There's a lot of folks, a lot of church folks around the world that their gates are rusted and they're tied and they're saying, I'm not going no further. I'm not going to change anymore. I'm not getting rid of this attitude. I'm going to stay the same. Guess what? God says, okay, you can creak through there to get to a service, but the anointing, the power of God that I want to bring through, I can't, because you don't want to go. You don't want to yield anymore. You don't want to be still anymore. You think you know it. God says, I'm looking for somebody who won't let their gates be rusted, but open up. Come on, give them a praise, somebody. Where's your gate? Is it open that much? You just come to church on Sunday. Or maybe it's open this much and you squeeze Wednesday. Or maybe it's this much, you squeeze squeeze prayer in. We had four people at prayer. Where are the prayer warriors before the service? Where's the prayer? Maybe it's open that you have a ministry. Maybe you're anointed. But guess what? None of us in here have had the gates totally wide open. What will happen? What will happen when that gate is yielded? Bringing every thought into obedience of Christ. What will happen when that gate is open individually and collectively? What power of Christ can walk through that gate? Blind eyes open, ears unstopped, demons cast out of people. Are we just creaky?
Well, this is how it used to be.
Yeah. God says, I'm doing something new. Don't bring up the past, what it used to be. Bring up the future, what it's going to be. Some of you are stuck in the past, what happened years ago. Listen to New Day. Thank God for that. But you know what? I want to get that gate open. And I realize the more I try to get that gate open, the more I got to let the potter cause every word not to be idle. I realize that there's a price to pay to open the gate, and not everybody's going to want the gate open. But you know what? I don't want to go to heaven with my gate half open because I wasn't yielded on the wheel. Can God find a people? Can God find a church? Can God find a congregation that wants more than just a little religion? Can God find a people that want the power of God? That when people drive on this land, the conviction of the Spirit of God, when people go through those doors, they begin to weep and begin to cry because there's such a flow of God. Not coming to hear a preacher, but coming to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Give him a praise if that's you today. Psalm 24:7, I love this. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He's the King of glory. Lift up your heads, lift up your thoughts. Get revelation and understanding that the wheel of God sometimes makes you dizzy. Sometimes it's not fair. Sometimes there are outward things trying to hit the wheel. Lift up your heads to an understanding. Lift up and look back and see Moses at a Red Sea with a rod and the power of God. Lift up your heads and see Joshua on the seventh day shouting. Lift up your heads and see David before a giant. Lift up your heads and see Ruth clinging to Naomi. Lift up your heads and see Esther going into the king. Lift up your heads and see Jesus on the cross, high and lifted up, and saying, Father, forgive them. Lift up your heads. Oh, ye gates, you're the gates. Lift your heads up and give God a praise today. Lift up your heads. See the Apostle Paul. See him being stoned 3 times, shipwrecked, and still writing from a prison. The Philippians, Ephesians, writing from a prison cell. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. He's writing this with stripes on him in the lowest prison where the sewage ran. Rejoice forevermore. God's removing some things from you, sir, that have stolen your joy. God's removing some things, ma'am, that have hindered the anointing. I'm telling you by the word of the Lord, as he told me at 3:30 in the morning, if I don't grasp it being yielded and still, I will go no farther in God. I'll go to heaven, but I'll not be used by him. What do you want to do today? We are living in crucial times. We are living in times when people think the church is irrelevant, preachers are all for your money, attitudes attitudes. God's got his thumb on you. And whom the Lord loves, he shapes. God, I have a problem. And it's me. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil who'll flee from you. But I got the problem, the problem's me. Because I didn't always recognize your hand on me. I blamed the devil. I blamed other people. I didn't always recognize that I was the man. I didn't always recognize my need for repentance and change. I'm not going to allow that gate. You put that gate back, just leave it till the end. I'm not going to allow my gate to be halfway open. If I say something to my wife that's not kind, I go back because I'm not going to let that gate sit there. The Bible says if there's aught, go to your brother. Don't let that gate rust right there. You see, in this hour, God's saying, whom will I send? And see, Isaiah lifted up his head to the gate. Lifted it up. He lifted his gate up and saw the Lord high and mighty. And his train filling the temple. And even though he was a prophet of God and prophesied more about the coming of Christ, he said, I got some unclean lips. That's where we miss it, folks, is our words. So God said, you know, Isaiah, before I can send you, I got to touch you. See, he wasn't exempt from the process. But I'm sure he thought he was pretty good. He's the prophet. Sends an angel with a coal. Coal represents the fire that bakes the clay. So God had brought him to the plea. He was yielded. He had been still. But there was something. God says, now I got to bake you a little bit. We don't want to be baked. How on earth are we going to be a vessel to turn water into wine if the fire doesn't come? We want the fire of God, but we want the fire of purification first. You're on the wheel, I'm on the wheel. Every word is crucial, every attitude is crucial, every thought is crucial. Paul said every thought that's against God must be cast down. Your attendance in church determines how far the gates open. I know sometimes we have work and schedules, but sometimes that gate's open and that's as far as it's going. My attendance in prayer is how far I really need God. Prayer is a dependency on God. What are we going to do with the Rock Church of Petersburg? I don't want to be another church on another block holding services. I want the gate to open and our Lord Jesus Christ to come into his house. And for all of a sudden, there's a healing happening over there. And over there, someone's ears open up. And over there, someone's being set free from sexual abuse and depression. And over here, the Spirit of God is lifting suicide off from somebody. See, that's the church. And somehow we think it's just the preacher's going to do it. No, this is a body effort. Hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. I can't say to the foot, I don't need you. It's all of us together. Can you imagine if all of us make a new commitment to be yielded? And still, what would happen? Can you put some music on real low, though, real low? Thank you.
Father God, for this message. And I pray in Jesus' name, whoever's watching, if you don't know Christ, I pray you'd pray this with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all sin. I believe you died for me and rose the third day. I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Thank you for saving my soul in Jesus' name. And if you prayed that for the first time, please visit our website, rockchurchofpetersburg.org. We'd love to stay in contact with you. God bless you today. Amen.